You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Just like that, show is flying. Third and final hour along the network of Miller and Moulton on this hump day. And, well, we begin every 8 o'clock hour in the East on a Wednesday with Seth Everett. He of Sports with Friends, Hall of Justice, two terrific, long-running, and that is difficult to say, podcasts. Follow Seth on X at Seth_Everett. Top of the morning to you, friend. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, Sports with Friends hit episode 450 today.
450. Well done. With sponsors and everything. That's not you just doing it for the hell of it. I mean, because that's what Miller and Moulton do. We just do it for the hell of it. Actually have people that like...
Yeah, but you've been a client for 15 years.
Right. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, 450. That was pretty wild. It's an easy number to save it as. Like, I didn't have to go look it up.
Right.
You don't know that going in?
No. Like, when I'm finished editing and I go to save it, I have to go look. Is it 429, 427? You know, like, you don't know, but 450, I've known. So it was easy.
All right.
It's John Smoltz, by the way. He was freaking awesome.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of quality material, you know.
Hall of Famer. Yeah. It's not the first Hall of Famer we've had on, but he's the most recent.
And we'll talk about that coming up. Hey, our poll question.
Okay.
And don't know what the situations were.
I didn't see
with you, your wife, and your two daughters. But our poll question, Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns. But Scheffler's the best golfer in the world right now. Yep. And his wife's very pregnant, due in 2 weeks with their first child.
Yeah.
So, of course, what happens if she goes into labor during the Masters? What do you do? So our poll question, Seth, it's Sunday. You're leading. And
You're leading. Oh, now he has to be leading.
He's the number one player in the world. He's the biggest favorite in this tournament since Tiger in 2013.
Still, the probability is he's not going to be leading. But okay.
No, actually, I think the probability is that he's going to be leading, Seth.
He's a huge betting favorite. He won it 2 years ago. All right, there's a very good chance he's on the first page of the leaderboard. Put it that way. That he'll go into Sunday thinking
that's
he
fair.
Can win.
He'll be in the conversation.
Yes. Okay, so you're Scheffler. You're going into Sunday. You got a chance to win. At first child. Wife goes into labor. What do you do?
It's easy for me to say, but I say you go to the birth.
Okay. So you really? WD and you race to the airport.
Yep.
Okay.
I finish. I'm telling you right now.
Okay.
And I don't You're know if wrong. I'd say the same thing for the U.S. Open, for the PGA, for the British Open, for
and
many other things. But if I'm in the hunt Sunday at Augusta, I'm finishing.
I get it. And, you know, but I have the weirdest feeling about the Masters in Augusta. I'm not trying to get controversial in any way. The tournament does nothing for me. Like, it's just like the British Open. It's just like the U.S. Open. It's just like the PGA Championship. I it's not on a bucket list. I don't have any interest in going. I'll put it on because just like I casually watch any golf tournament. There's nothing specific about this one. So if Scottie Scheffler was going to leave 3 weeks from now for the same reason, he should leave this one. That's my logic.
I just asked my wife during the break. I said, okay, we're asking this question again. I know we've asked it two or three times over the years. And she said, well, here's what you as the guy, you have to answer it by saying you'll leave. But in reality, it's my call. It's my call. I will tell you what we're doing. Okay. So for, you know, to avoid any controversy for you. Okay. She said, what we should all do is say what Scheffler and Sam Burns have said, which is their WD and their race into the private jet. Okay. But ultimately she will decide what it is you're doing.
Yeah, that's fair.
And my wife said you will stay and finish the round and then race to the airport. So I'm, which still shocks me. But that's her story, and she's sticking to it. So that's our poll question. That Mark Miller.
Did you see the guy on the, I think on the Kraken, Adam Larson? He had a consecutive game streak of 335 consecutive games, and he broke the streak to go see his child get born.
Well, I mean,
streak.
Yeah, I know it's 4 years. I mean, it's not missing a game for 4 years. That's impressive. Yeah. But I mean, we're not, you know, chasing down.
I'm not sure. It's not apples to apples. I'm just saying right. That just happened. Adam Larson's streak was broken because he left.
All right. Good, nice footnote there. That's our poll question.
It's an epilogue.
Vote accordingly. Seth, listen. You'd be proud of us. We went with that because we nearly went with grilled cheese. Today's National Grilled Cheese Day.
Grilled cheese is gross.
What? I'm ready to end this interview. He doesn't like the Masters, and grilled cheese is gross. Who's on the damn pod? John Smoltz, we already know that in Sports with Friends. Hall of Justice, gross. Go, and we can end this sucker.
Yeah, it's gross.
Grilled, what are you talking about?
I never had it. I was a big PB&J person.
Hold on.
You've never had a grilled cheese.
You've never had it.
No. I mean, I had it when I was a kid, and it was a bad experience, and that was it. Yeah.
Your mom burned the bread? I mean, how can a grilled cheese be a bad experience?
Know. No, and I used to make it for my kids, and it smelled bad. I just never.
What kind of cheese?
I think American. I think Munster, maybe. I don't know.
Wow,
it's not a filed memory.
Are you against cheese on the whole, or just grilled cheese?
No, I like cream cheese. I like cottage cheese. Cottage cheese is strong.
Wow. We are not in sync today at all. Hey, you got a theory on all these baseball injuries?
Yeah. The world's coming to an end, and this is it. This is the model. My only thing that I hadn't even realized that they reduced the pitch clock 2 more seconds, and that is something that I think will have absolutely minimal impact on the actual sport. And if it pisses off the union, why'd you do it? What was the benefit?
Manfred said, I'm doing 2 more seconds. We've studied it. And we think 2 seconds per pitch over the course of a game, when the average game has between 250 and 300 pitches, will do 5 minutes.
No, I get that. What I'm saying is Manfred deciphers this, right, in his infinite wisdom. And he calls Tony Clark and says, I want to do this. And Tony Clark says, heck no, that's end of story. Mm-mm. What is the benefit for Manfred? Has anyone, and I mean this sincerely, has anyone gone on social media and said, boy, the games are 5 minutes faster? Now, the difference from 2022 to 2023 was significant. That's a real thing.
Right.
From 23 to 24, that's nothing. And if if it ticked off Tony Clark, why? What was the point?
Well, in Manfred's case, he said it 5 minutes, and that's important to us. We're trying to make sure it's for television, you know, pregame, game, post, try to make sure that the whole sucker's, 3 hours or less, in people's times. And he's trying to get 240 to 230. I really think he's trying to get baseball down to 2.5.
The baseball game will not be 2:30.
I know. I just think he's trying.
I know. An NBA game, a hockey game, that's 2:30. A baseball game is not 2:30. Might be 2:50, but it's not 2:30 ever.
Well, the average game
ever to the point of where you can make another plan.
Okay.
We were in the parking lot last night. We went to a hockey game. We were in the parking lot last night, and we stayed for the final whistle at 9:30. For a 7 o'clock game. We were home before 10. Tremendous night.
That's what Manfred wants for baseball.
Yeah, well, isn't he leaving?
He is by the end of the decade, though. He said he's on his last contract, so I think they need a new commissioner in 5 years.
I will have a flying car by then.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be back to gas guzzlers by then, okay? We're going in the different direction, I think, by then.
We'll see.
He's Seth Everett, Sports with Friends Hall of Justice. So he's the Masters, grilled cheese,
Yeah, the Masters is just kind of
cottage cheese.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Like right now, like I can't. I,
No, no, I get it. I get it. But it's the same people who love James Bond movies and Game of Thrones. And it just there's things that there's a cluster of things that people love that I could care less about.
And this is one of them.
Yeah, it's one of them.
Okay. Besides, what did John Smoltz say on Sports with Friends?
John Smoltz talked about strikeouts, and he talked about how teams that win don't strike out, and he doesn't understand why more teams try to cultivate lineups that don't strike out. And he used the Astros' recent World Series as the example. And you don't get an argument from me, but nobody professes that. Nobody teaches that. And, you know, he won't say, well, it's because the sport is dumb, you know, and I didn't say that either. But my whole argument was with him, you know, we recorded this before Shane Bieber got hurt, so we didn't have that context of it. But we did talk about injuries, and we talked about his decision to relieve, you know, when he was a starter because of injuries. And he talked about how pitchers and how they deal with injuries defines their career and whether or not they embrace the injuries that they've had. If they let an injury defeat them, you know, then they can't come back. He was an interesting dude to talk to. Really interesting. I'd interviewed him before, but he was really cool. I asked him, who's a bigger jerk, John Smoltz, Joe Buck, or Joe Davis? You have to listen to the podcast for his answer.
I like that. That's a good question. Okay. Hall of Justice, go.
A gentleman by the name of Lenny Jacobson. He's been in a ton of stuff. He was most recently in that show that I love, For All Mankind. It's on Apple Plus. It's about the space race. And he's also was in the TV show version of Frequency. He was on Arrow. He was on Peacemaker. He's been on a bunch of things. Lenny Jacobson on Hall of Justice.
Did he ever do a Bond film?
No.
Okay.
But he was in a Transformers movie. He was in Bumblebee. So he was talking about how to act up against one of those Transformers. It's like a stick.
Well, you got to be careful. If you touch it, you get electrocuted. Sports with Friends, Hall of Justice. He's Seth Everett. Follow him on X. It's Seth_Everett. Seth, sorry about your Devils. Better luck next year.
Yep, next year. There's always next year.
And enjoy your cottage cheese for lunch today.
Yeah, really.
God, I didn't say that.
We'll be eating grilled cheese.
I just said it's not bad.
Oh, don't know about that. Seth Everett, very controversial appearance here on Miller and Moulton. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour. Whit Watson does a lot of golf. Golf Channel, ESPN Plus, even hosts a golf show in Orlando on the weekends. Whit Watson to join us coming up in a little bit. By the way, breaking news, Jaguars defensive end Josh Allen, I think, just got 5 years and like up to 150. That's a lot of money. That's almost quarterback money right there. Wow. That's serious. So Emmys came out yesterday. Nominations. Sports Emmy nominations came out yesterday.
Okay.
So
you got a shot at number three?
No. No. So for those that don't know, Army-Navy game on CBS won an Emmy for best broadcast in 2017. I'm a part of it. If you're a part of it, although it's remarkable, the talent, you know, Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson, I think that was Ali LaForce, I think, was sidelined. They don't get an Emmy. That's where that whole Emmy controversy came from last fall involving ESPN. The guy who was running it thought it was ridiculous. Like, if Game Day won an Emmy, that Fowler or Reese or Herb Street, whatever, they didn't get Emmys. The whole crew got them and not the people fronting the show. And I do think that's absurd.
I agree with that. How ESPN went about it was ridiculous.
Right. They then submitted fake names and got extra Emmy sent to them, and then changed the name on the Emmy and handed them out to, you know, Reese and Chris and Kirk and what have you. So anyway, so there's two studio show categories. One is daily. And then, actually there's three: weekly, daily, and limited run. So like, you know, the Fox baseball postseason show that runs for 3-4 weeks that got nominated. So those limited runs were game day, the playoffs, Fox MLB postseason, Inside the NBA for the playoffs, ESPN NFL Countdown postseason, Road to the Final Four. Okay. The daily ones that got nominated: MLB Tonight, NBA Countdown, NFL Live, Pardon the Interruption, and SportsCenter. The weekly ones, it almost always comes down to game day versus Inside the NBA, which one of those is going to win. The other three that got nominated were Pat's show, the NFL Today. He would get an Emmy if it wins. Fox NFL Sunday, and also Fox Big Noon Kickoff. They're a pregame show nominated for an Emmy. That's really good for them. Look at how far that show has come, right? Okay. So now the individuals. Studio host, Kevin Burkhart, which is interesting because he's the number one play-by-play guy for NFL on Fox, but he hosts their baseball studio show. So Burkhart gets nominated. Reese Davis gets nominated. Scott Van Pelt gets nominated. Ernie Johnson, Malika Andrews. Malika does all the basketball for ESPN and ABC. Play-by-play, Mike Breen. Bang! Ian Eagle. Kevin Harlan. Mike Tirico. Joe Buck.
Yeah, no offense to Joe. Kevin Harlan should win that.
Well, I don't know. Joe's won 7. I don't know how many more Joe wins. You know, you get to a point in which they usually start going elsewhere. Plus, they usually give it to the guy who does the Super Bowl. But, so that's the play-by-play. Breen has won a few recently.
Yes.
Breen's on a run here of winning the Emmy. But also, it's interesting, Ian Eagle got it over Nance.
Hello, friend.
Number two play-by-play guy at CBS gets it over the number one guy. Okay. Analyst in the studio, Barkley, Nate Burleson, Ryan Clark, Herb Street gets nominated for studio, and Mina Kimes. Analyst for games, Herb Street doesn't get an Emmy nomination. Chris Collinsworth does. Greg Olson does. Bill Raftery does. John Smoltz does. Tom Verducci does. And Troy Aikman does.
Has Troy won one of these?
He has not. I believe it's his 4th nomination, 3rd in the last 5 years, and he has not won one. Sideline reporter, Aaron Andrews, Kaylee Hartung, who does Thursday nights, and Peacock. Excuse me, Tom Rinaldi, Holly Rowe, Tracy Wolfson. I don't know if the Wolf has won. I know this is like 3rd or 4th nomination for the Wolf. I don't know that she's won.
So she's hungry for it?
She's hungry like the Wolf, yes. And headed to the Masters before some time off. Well done. Trent, do you know the reference that Mark just made?
Hungry like the Wolf?
Yeah.
Hungry, yeah, like Duran the Duran.
There you go. Hey. That's all the way back in the 80s.
In the 80s, correct. That's when Mr. Miller.
I saw Duran Duran live like a couple months ago in Nashville.
Did you really?
They were excellent.
They're good musicians. John Taylor's an incredible bass player.
Nile Rodgers opened for him too, so it was a party.
Okay. So there you have it. You know, people have their opinions, who they like, who they don't like. You know, surprises that, hey, maybe so-and-so didn't get nominated. But I did find it interesting. Herb Street not nominated, and he's won recently as best analyst and doesn't get an Emmy as analyst. That's in the industry. That's a bit of an eyebrow raiser. But I do think it's very telling that neither Nance nor Romo get nominated. Because if you notice, the A-list guys and gals pretty much get nominated. And both Nance and Romo. Romo, who I think has gotten one nomination, has not won. Nance, who's won, obviously, quite a few.
Well, it just shows how quickly the nation soured on Tony Romo.
Well, and the industry also is, and how Nance is getting caught up in the wash, so to speak. Yes. So those were the nominations yesterday.
When do they have the sports Emmys? How far down?
I think in like a month. Usually it's in New York. I'm always amused by who actually, and when they're nominated, who actually goes. You know, some people are to the point in which they're like,
I laugh because of the Dan Patrick's been nominated a bunch and has turned into the Susan Lucci of the sports Emmys.
Right.
That they don't ever win.
No. And in fact, I don't know. I'd have to check it out whether or not, okay, they got nominated. I'll look.
But they have done a great job of really poking fun at themselves by not winning throughout
Correct.
The past few years. I mean, even Costas coming on, saying hello, losers. I mean, it's...
right. Uh-huh.
They've done a terrific job of really poking fun at themselves with their nominations and not winning. So I've found some amusement in that.
So there you have it for those that are interested. But I would like to see Troy obviously win one. He's never won one. You know, 20-something years. I think it's ridiculous. I've got a trophy on the mantle and he doesn't. Don't you find that absurd?
Completely.
Right.
Well, I think it's really cool that you have one. And you know, from the bottom of my heart, I think it's awesome that over your shoulder right. there's an Emmy that you won and deserved great work and all those things. But the fact that Troy Aikman doesn't have one and you do right. is right. ridiculous.
Right. I mean,
tell him tell him you'll trade him the Emmy for one of his Lombardis. How about the gold jacket for a weekend?
I don't think he'd make that trade. You know, Gary doesn't have one. And he's been nominated a handful of times. You know, 35 years. You know, I would love for Gary to win one. You know, so, you know, there you have it. Sports Emmys. Whit Watson. I don't know if he has an Emmy, but I know he's next.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the top of the hour, the Diamond District bonus hour awaits in the 239, our final segment along the network, and we are thrilled to be joined once again by Whit Watson, Golf Channel, PGA Tour Live, ESPN Plus, NBC Sports, host of Making the Cut, which you can hear Saturday mornings on 96.9 The Game in Orlando. Follow Whit on X at Real Whit Watson. Real Whit Watson. Whit, David, and Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Masters Week to all who celebrate, and that would be all of us listening this morning. Great week.
I was going to say, bigger party on Monday, the Eclipse or the Masters?
For me, it's the Masters. I mean, this thing now, it's become, you know, with the advent of the Augusta National Women's Amateur and the drive, chip, and putt, it truly is an 8-day event. You know, I mean, really things get started Saturday when the women take the golf course and had a terrific finish, an incredible finish in that event with the winner birdieing three of her last four holes, including 17 and 18, and then seeing the kids on the golf course on Sunday morning. And then the Masters week begins. So it's really like it's like Hanukkah. It's like 8 days of Augusta National. It's awesome.
All right, Scottie Scheffler is the overwhelming favorite. We haven't had a favorite like this since Tiger in 2013. Why is Scottie Scheffler going to finish the deal?
Well, he's done it before, number one. And number two, he's playing as well, if not better, than anybody else on the planet right now. I mean, going back-to-back at the Players, no one had ever done that. And I had, as a guest on the radio show, Justin Ray, who is a sports and specifically golf stat guru. And he told me on the show that the Players is the, statistically speaking, the most unpredictable golf tournament of the year on the PGA Tour. There is no stat that supports any given winner. And the fact that Scheffler went out and did something that no one had ever done, winning it back-to-back, just shows you how he's playing. There's a lot of other guys out there that can win, but I think he's a prohibitive favorite for a reason, for a good reason.
Your thoughts on the theory that the LIV guys just haven't been sharpened enough this year? It's just not serious and intense enough, and it doesn't matter what the stats say, that it's not a good prep to come in and win a major. Obviously, Koepka faltered in the Masters last year, but a month later got it together at the PGA. Your thoughts on that theory?
I think it's true that they haven't played as much. I mean, that's a fact, right? They don't play as many events, and they only play three rounds when they do. That being said, I don't think it would be a surprise if any of those guys contended. I mean, would you really be surprised if Sergio played well at Augusta this week? Would you be surprised if Koepka contended again? You know, DeChambeau maybe hasn't been at the top of his game, but Cam Smith, it's not like they forgot how to play golf. They're just playing somewhere else. And they're all of those players that I just mentioned are major winners that have exemptions and therefore can come back and play the Masters and the U.S. Open for this year and next year. And I think that they're going to be ready. I don't think there's any – I don't think it's necessarily a discriminating or a the fact they're playing on LIV does not preclude them from winning. They're not as sharp, true, but they're also guys that have been here before.
For Rory McIlroy to win the Masters, he needs to do what?
Get out of his own head. It's been 10 years since he's won a major. And couple that with the fact that he's looking for the green jacket to complete the career Grand Slam. He even says he's in his mid-30s now. He's married. He's got a kid. He's in a different part of his life. And I think the biggest obstacle for him at this event is the mental block. He knows what it means to his legacy to complete a career Grand Slam. Only five players have ever done that. And I just think he has to, you know, this week he's been talking about trying to keep a routine and treat it like any other week. So he's maintaining a schedule that's similar to what he does for regular tour events. That's great. That's a mental gymnastic. Good for you. You know, if that makes you feel better, great. He knows exactly what's on the line. And I think, to answer your question, what he has to do is get out of his own way.
Maybe the greatest driver of the ball ever, you know, mentioned with Arnie, mentioned with Norman. But he has not been historically a good player from 150 yards in. And, you know, that you would think is somebody that would not win at Augusta, right?
You know, it's funny, too, isn't it, that as one of the greatest drivers of the golf ball in history, that it was the driver that ruined his Masters that year when he hit it so far left on 10 that the cameras couldn't find the golf ball. Isn't it ironic? It was the driver that put him under. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, iron play and putting is what wins the Masters. You know, Johnny Miller famously called it the Augusta National Putting Contest. So if Rory's game is sharp, in that respect, where he gets in trouble is getting a little too aggressive in spots where he shouldn't be aggressive. And that, you know, Nicklaus always said, at Augusta, you play for the middle of the green. You know, you have to know when to take your chances and when not to take your chances. And I think that's what has been McIlroy's undoing in years past.
I've got a feeling about Hideki Matsuyama this week, if I'm not picking Scheffler. Who's the guy you like that's Scheffler obviously is the favorite, it's easy pick. Who do you like this week, Whit?
So we do a charity pool, a golf, a one-and-done up here with some people in Tampa, and we put money together and then give it to charity at the end of the year. And I took Koepka. I just think he's built for events like this. He was close last year. Whether he plays a lot of golf or not, he is mentally completely checked in when it comes to big events, major championships. I think he's a guy to watch. I love the Matsuyama pick. He's a very popular pick this week for good reason. He's playing well. And, again, you know, it's hard to take anybody. My dad was asking me about, like, Ludvig Åberg, who's playing great. The first-timers, that hasn't happened since 1979. Fuzzy Zeller. So it's hard to take anybody that hasn't played the Masters a few times. And so I think Koepka and Matsuyama are good picks.
Well, and Sergio lost in a playoff last week at Doral, so he comes in pretty good form. And I don't know. I got a Shoffley feeling. And, you know, that at some point, these guys who keep coming close, they have to break through, right? I mean, Duval finally broke through. I mean, Witt, he's got to break through, right?
You think so? He has the game. There's no question he's got the talent. It's just a matter of there's, in this case, 87 other guys out there that are also pretty good. I could see Shoffley winning. It's just so hard, I think, in my opinion. I think it's really hard for the Masters to be your first major championship. Like, I could see Shoffley picking off a PGA, you know, or a U.S. Open, maybe at Pinehurst this year. The Masters is so much local knowledge, and it's so much emotion and the mental strain of knowing what's on the line, the green jacket, the lifetime exemption, you know, you're a part of history. The Danny Willetts of the world are rare. They're few and far between. That being said, you know, Shoffley, I think he's going to win one. I'm not sure this week is going to be it, but yes, I think he'll win one.
How much do you like Zalatoris being able to play a practice round with Tiger and pick his brain? Because obviously, as you said, the local knowledge is key.
Yeah, Tiger, you know, he loves his practice partners, doesn't he? He goes out with Fred Couples every year, already played nine holes with Couples. And Zalatoris, you know, the ball striking has never been the question. He's one of the top two or three in the world. It's all going to come down to the putter for him, and especially at this golf course. We haven't really seen much of him lately, and we don't have a real big body of work to judge in terms of where his game is right now. But if we're talking about his ability to find fairways and find greens, I mean, yeah, he's as good as anybody in the world, but it comes down to getting the ball in the hole.
And he's played well there twice. Whit Watson, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, PGA Tour Live on ESPN+. He also hosts Making the Cut Saturday mornings, 11 a.m. Check it out, 96.9 The Game in Orlando. And follow Whit on X at Real Whit Watson. It's Whit with one T, Real Whit Watson. All right, you mentioned him. Are we to take him seriously, or is Tiger now at the stage where Jack was in 86 when they said, nope, too old, too rusty, not going to contend anymore? Because, boy, Whit, for the last 72 hours, anybody who's on the grounds, all they've been able to say is, man, does Tiger look good.
Yeah, supposedly he shot 31 for a nine-hole practice round. That's the rumor around the grounds. It's all going to come down to his body. You know, it's not the mind. He's still plenty long. Nobody knows the golf course better than he does. It's just, can his body withstand four rounds on that golf course? And doing it in competition with 87 other guys who are, like I said, also pretty good. At this point, he has more surgeries than major championships. And, you know, he's got a fused ankle and a fused lower back. And that golf course is no joke. This is the part where I'm federally mandated to say that the TV cameras don't do it justice in terms of the elevation. It's a law, I have to say it. Every broadcaster does. But it's a hard walk, and it's a hard walk for 4 days for a guy who's in his condition. So I think making the cut is a reasonable goal, and if he does, he sets the record for consecutive cuts made at Masters, and I think that's on his mind. Believe me, knowing Tiger and how competitive he is, he's thinking about it. But contention, I feel like at this point, is a stretch. I'm happy to be wrong, but I don't think I am.
Playing to follow up with Tiger, he's going to have very much the Hogan-like career from this point forward. He's going to play 2, 3 to 6 events a year, which is what Hogan did the last 6 to 8 years of his career. Hogan contended a couple times. Do you think he can still get in the mix over the next 5 years playing as infrequently as he's going to play?
Yes, I think he can if he picks his spots. I was a little surprised, for example, that he didn't play Bay Hill, where he's won 8 times here in Orlando. Little surprised he didn't play the Players, and he was eligible to play it and just didn't show up and made no comment as to why he wasn't playing in Pontevedra. So I think if he picks his courses, which he can do as a lifetime member of the PGA Tour, then yeah, he can absolutely get in the mix. Is he a ceremonial golfer? Not yet. I mean, this is all physical. Everything that's holding Tiger back right now, and the Hogan analogy is a good one, you know, coming back after the car accident. You know, Tiger's had, like I said, multiple surgeries, multiple injuries. And I think that if he can get healthy-ish, as healthy as a 48-year-old guy with 15 surgeries can get, he absolutely can contend in spots. And maybe Augusta is one of them. But, I mean, he himself said earlier this year that his game and his body just wasn't ready for competition. So I'd like to see him get recovered, fully recovered, and then let's see where he can contend.
Whit, as always, continued success. Thanks for making time for us. Safe travels, and we can do this again, hopefully, later in the spring.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Thank you very much.
Whit Watson, Golf Channel, PGA Tour Live, ESPN Plus. He does a ton of golf play-by-play. NBC Sports, because they own the Golf Channel. And then Saturday mornings, 11 a.m., you know, download it on an app and what have you. Making the Cut, 96.9 The Game in Orlando. Real Whit Watson on X, Whit with one T, Real Whit Watson.
So Xander Schauffele is your pick if it's not Scottie Scheffler?
I am going to go Schauffele, which is against everything that I believe in. He is really good. He's like Rory, though, with, you know, he can't get out of his way at the end. I mean, he's really good for 66 holes. But, and this, if you can't close, this is a tough tournament to predict you're going to close at. But I actually think, Mark, that when Schauffele finally breaks through and wins a major, he's going to win by five.
And maybe that's the case. I disagree with you because I don't – everything that you said is the reason I wouldn't pick him. He right. has become my Ricky Fowler. I am not picking this guy. I hope I'm wrong. I like him. I like the game. But I'll go with Matsuyama. I like the way he's playing right now. If I'm not picking Scheffler, I'll go Matsuyama. That's where I'm at for this week.
By the way, tee times are out. Koepka, maybe the fastest player on tour. They paired him with Brian Harman, who does about 14 waggles every time before he swings a golf club. If Koepka starts going crooked, he might accost Harman midway through a round.
True, you just can't watch your playing partner.
No.
You just got to find something else to look at. And there's plenty to look at.
I'll tell you what, though, if you're Koepka, you're thinking that the folks at Augusta National, this is like, you know, they bring out the brackets and we see who they pair against one another and they go, oh, they have a sense of humor. Okay, this is Augusta National having a sense of humor. There's nobody who's more public about slow play than Koepka, and they put him with maybe the slowest guy in the field.
Par three today, the Masters gets underway tomorrow. Can't wait.
Everybody but Seth Everett can't wait. He's more excited about having some cottage cheese today than the Masters. I don't know. We might have to suspend him for a week.
I think you're on to something, David.
I think that was insubordination.